This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month, the day of the month here on the program that we talk about dogs. And our guests, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, are back with us this January 5th. 2007. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to answer your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. So if you've got a question, give us a call and talk to Jim and Carol. The phone number is 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. And we've already got a call coming in, but before we go to that, I'm sure people heard you giggle a little bit there.
Oh, did I giggle?
Yeah, you both of you could hear, hear smiles.
It's just dog people are so nuts. I've got, my checkbook has a wolf on it, and
my eyeglass cakes.
Yeah, as a golden.
And my wallet has a golden on it.
Yeah, very nice accessories. Right.
I didn't mean to giggle.
For dog lovers. That's okay. That's very good.
We have to put our headphones on, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and let me just, if people are, someone's joining us for the first time this afternoon to hear the two of you. Jim and his wife, Robin, they have Malamutes, and Carol Lindholm, she has a doodle and a golden, right? Okay. Well, we've got a couple calls already.
Wow.
So let's go right away.
We must have done something wrong last month.
Let's go right away to a listener in Indiana on line four. Hi.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Kind of rainy, but I've got a border collie I'm trying to train. I'm just going by books. And first I'd like to know, concerning the commands, stay and down. Now, what is the purpose of each of those? And how long should they expect to be, how long can you expect them to remain in stay or down?
The purpose, especially for border collies that herd sheep, but generally in obedience, stay just means, you know, sit where you are, don't move, or stand where you are, or lay down where you are.
For how long?
Well, in competition, with the handler out of sight, that is in a different room, the dog is expected to lie down and stay.
Why don't you back up to novice competition?
Novice competition, the dog stays in position for 1 minute with the handler about 50 feet away.
So that's not going to be of any use to me out herding cows, is it?
No. Carol wanted me to mention that, though.
Well, for the rest of the audience.
In more advanced work, the dog is expected to lie down for 5 minutes. That's an ordinary dog. That's not a border.
Now, is that what down is for, to lie down?
They lie down for 5 minutes, Carol.
Not three?
Three, they sit for three.
Okay.
They sit for three, they lie down.
Just checking to make sure he was right.
Okay, because the collies, you know, they do lie down. He instinctively lies down. And that must have something to do with the herding.
Well, I always tell my classes that, you know, we're not going to teach these dogs to sit or lie down. They already know how to do all that. We're trying to teach them to do it when we on command. One problem with a border collie in terms of stay is that I think they've clocked their attention span at about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So, but on the other hand, they're very good workers. So you could expect the dog to sit and stay, I would say, for several minutes, especially if you're in the area, if the dog can see you.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, in training, I'm willing to herd cows, my cows here. I know the commands are given, you know, to go to the handler's left to the handler's right. But to train him, should I, do you think, put him on a leash and, let's say, direct him, to go left, come by
and around.
Okay, now.
And go ahead.
So should I say, like, come by and then with the leash go around to the left and keep that up enough times till he can do it himself?
Well, I wish one of our border collie buddies would call in, because
we've got a couple people in the club that train sheepdogs. I mean, for this very thing. I personally have never trained a sheepdog, and I know some of the commands.
Did you see the one of our members has a young border collie? And did you watch the video he put out? And he had his dog out working sheep, of course, but he, with a very experienced herder. And he had him on a long, long, long line for a brief period of time because the dog instinctively knew what to do. And the audio was very poor because of the wind. But I'm sure they give commands, but they use a whistle. And, you know, I don't know what commands they use.
How far away is the dog going to be herding your cows? How many cows do you have?
Well, not all that many, and he won't be all that far. I should say at the most an eighth of a mile.
You have to remember the commands that you're reading in the book are traditional commands.
Yeah.
And they're mostly for sheep herding and not necessarily cattle herding is a little bit different. With sheep herding, you give a lot of commands. Border collies are not traditionally cattle herders. They're sheep herders.
I've got an Australian Shepherd, too. I think they go for cattle.
Right. And strangely, the smaller dogs, like the Corgis, are actually cattle herders.
Mm.
And they herd the dogs, because the cows, the sheep are kind of afraid of the dogs.
Right. Whereas
the cows could care less about the dogs.
Sometimes.
But the Corgis usually get some authority and move the cattle by biting their feet, nipping at their hind legs.
Yeah.
But in terms of answering your questions, what you were thinking is probably correct. You can use the commands they use, the traditional ones. I do dog sledding. You know, you have jee-haw and on-by and all that kind of stuff. I just say left and right. the dog doesn't care what the words are. It's just easier for me to remember which is which.
I grew up using G and haw with horses.
Yeah, well, you can use G and haw with the
sled dog.
The cattle dogs, too. It's just whatever you want to teach them.
Yeah.
As I was saying, the words you're using are the traditional words, and I'm sure they would have those in the books. And if you want to be a really hip, dog trainer for cattle, you'd go on by and on around.
The dog is not going to go check the dictionary.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell you
you say whatever you want.
Well, I'm used to jee-haw.
Use jee-haw. But in terms of training, for this kind of thing, I think the border is going to pick it up pretty fast. But what you suggested, just make the dog do it. Until he gets it, but I don't think it'll take you that long.
I think we've got border collie buddies.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Saving us.
So hang in there, keep listening.
Keep listening, because I'm sure the people in the club who know more about this than we do are going to call up and say what idiots we are.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay.
You're welcome. Let's go next to a listener in Rantoul on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a dog that I adopted from the Humane Society 8 months ago, and both the people there and my own vet say that she's been badly abused in the past, and she piddles whenever she meets anybody, and particularly men, and particularly if it's, some confusion, something that gets her excited. She's an English Springer Spaniel, mostly, I think, and she still does it, and she's calmed down. She's wonderful otherwise, and I'm wondering what you think. Will she ever outgrow that? I know enough to ignore it. I know enough to not wipe it up in front of her, all the things that, I've been told to do. But it still happens. It happened again this morning, and it's kind of discouraging because otherwise she seems to be pretty well adjusted at this point.
The advice about not wiping it up in front of her, that's relegated to housebreaking issues, and this is not. So you can go ahead and wipe it up.
Okay.
In front of her.
Okay.
It may reduce, but it's not going to go away.
All right. Well, that was what I was basically wondering was, am I expecting too much, I guess?
Yeah. It's just something that you'll have to learn to manage. I had a dog that would submissively urinate every time she walked in the vet's office, every time certain people came to the house, and I just learned she would greet them outdoors.
Well, that's what I try to do.
Yeah, I never made an issue of it. It just makes the matter worse.
Right, right.
It's not necessarily the result of abuse either.
Right.
It may be, but a minority of dogs have it, and the ones I've heard of have typically been the females.
I see it, yeah.
Carol had a neighbor who had a dog all its life, had that problem. Uh-huh. And he, I know he never abused his dog. So it's just something, submissive peeing is what normally the submissive wolves do in a pack. So
right.
when they greet. So it's perfectly natural. It's just your dog is a little more into it than, you know, she's on an extreme.
Uh-huh.
And it is a difficult problem to extinguish because, you know, she's trying to be submissive, and anything you do that's dominant is going to make her do it again. And so ignoring it is the prescribed method of dealing with it, except it doesn't, you know, ignoring it doesn't really cure it. It minimizes it. And it's a very, very difficult problem to train out of.
Right.
Because every time you do something with the dog, she wants to show that she's submissive.
Right.
And so pees, and you're going, no, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you not to do. Oh, okay, I'll pee again. So it's a problem, as Carol says. My experience with it is it diminishes with age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, she's
but it never goes away.
Five, so I think probably yeah. it's not going.
Well, in her case too, you've only had her 8 months, so
right.
her physical age is not going to coordinate with the length of time you have her, where she feels more comfort and more secure with you and the situation in which she finds herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jim means by maturing.
The one thing that has helped a little bit is if you know this, you know, you don't know when she's going to do it, but if you know the kinds of situations she's going to do it, if you can have a cookie or some favorite toy to distract her.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think, oh, she's going to urinate, pull out the toy and throw it on the ground or throw a cookie on the ground, and she'll forget it. You know, she'll forget about being submissive.
And have your friends, you know, when friends come over, forewarn them that this is something that you'd like to control, and have them ignore her when they come in,
mm-hmm.
and not greet her until they're perhaps seated, so they're not as imposing.
That's one of the problems is they all say, oh, you have another dog, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and just tell them beforehand, you know, this is a problem we're trying to work on. So if you would do this for me, I'd appreciate it.
And it's again, it's not necessarily the result of abusive treatment. It's a type of greeting from the dog's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it usually occurs when you greet that, you know, when you come home or when people come over. It's there. As I said, it can be. Abusive, but
she may perceive a threat, and that's her way to diffuse the threatening situation posed to her by somebody new.
The calming behavior from Sweden, urinating is one of them. Yawning is another. Try yawning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you think she's going to urinate, if you don't have a cookie handy, start yawning because that's a
It's a universally accepted gesture.
Really? Yeah.
By canines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you watch in class, you'll see dogs yawning. Sometimes it's not. It's just.
It's not only a stress reliever. It's to induce a reduction in stress in other animals. So you'll see the dog
lip licking, yawning.
There's a little videotape on, or I guess it would be a CD now, wouldn't it?
DVD.
DVD. Sorry. showing a dog restless and the handler sitting and yawning, and as time passes, the dog calms down. Eh, who knows?
Never know till you try.
You try it. But I'd toss food or a favorite toy just to get her mind off of it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana on line 2. Hi.
Hi. In reference to the call on the border collie.
Oh, good.
Most trial dogs are taught to work with whistles,
mm-hmm.
not voice commands or hand signals. I think most working dogs work either with hand signals or voice commands. Most people can't whistle well enough to control the dog. You're not going to teach the dog much of anything. You're controlling it. Everything is instinctive, and if you observe closely, you'll notice it's very, very much what a wolf would be doing, except it's herding, not trying to kill. When a dog wants to stop an animal, it will snap at the throat and never touch the animal. Whereas, of course, a wolf would dig its fangs right into the jugular vein. But it's very much the same wolf instincts, and you're channeling, you're controlling those instinctive habits. You're not really teaching it. And I think perhaps the most important thing is don't start trying to train the dog too soon. You should never start trying to train a dog with livestock before it's a year old, or you're probably going to ruin the dog.
You can get some basic obedience in. But,
oh,
that's entirely
different. Right, that should be done as with any dog, but actually taking it out and working it with animals.
Yeah, that video that I mentioned, it wasn't so much a training video as it was an attempt to determine the dog's instinctive abilities. Mm-hmm. And it was quite remarkable to me to watch it because I had this dog in class, and he's a nice, ordinary dog, and then he turned into this creature that could move all these sheep all over the place without ever having been taught to do it. So it is an instinctive thing, which I'm sure this gentleman will find out.
A lot of shepherds have an artificial whistle that they use, too.
Yes, that might be a solution. But for a working dog, hand signals or voice signals work quite adequately. It's mm-hmm. just that that's not the way it's done.
And cattle don't range as far as sheep, do they?
No, they don't. And I have my doubts about whether a border collie giving the wolf stare at a cow is going to mean anything to the cow. You know, the cow's going to go, listen, kid.
You
want to attack me, I'm going to knock you on the head.
I assure you, after a few weeks, cows know who's the boss. Mm-hmm. And I remember sending a border collie out after a couple of young Angus bulls that thought they owned the world. And she simply, as they came charging at her, went right under their heads and snapped at their throats, and they practically sat down. And they turned around, and they went right back in the barn.
It's pretty powerful to watch these dogs work.
Yes. What was I going to say? When I've trained a couple of them now, and I start by working the dog on a leash, and after it shows that it's getting the idea, then release it. And
do you work them on a short leash?
Start with a short leash and then work to a longer
okay.
leash.
So maybe a leash in the beginning, just a regular leash, maybe 5-6 feet long?
Yeah.
And then going maybe to a 10 and then a 20-foot leash?
Something on that order.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the dogs vary, but it's really, the dogs are so instinctively mm-hmm. in tune with the process that it's being willing to accept what the dog wants to do and channeling it and controlling it. And the dogs really want to please you. So.
Well, thanks. Do we know you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Although
well,
I've called in once or twice
okay.
before.
Well, thanks for your help.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Indiana, line 3. Hi.
I think that may be me.
Yep, that's you.
Okay, well, I'm calling on a cell phone, and if you like, I'll take the answer off air. I have a problem with a dog. In late 2002, my daughter picked up a dog that was running the streets in Toronto, and she died in late 2003, and I inherited the dog. It's a well-trained animal, but I have two problems with it. One, it's adopted me as its personal person, and so it's very protective around me. It growls and kind of tries to herd my wife when she shows any signs of affection to me. And the other thing is, when people leave the house, he will immediately run to the door and bark and growl and circle them. I think he's probably been trained as a personal guard dog, as well as an animal that was supposed to alert when somebody left the house. He has two peculiarities in addition to this. First of all, his canines have all been ground down, so they're missing about probably a quarter to 3/8 of an inch off the ends of the canines. And he, according to the vet, was neutered rather late in life. I'd like to know if you had any thoughts about commands that could be used to kind of control the behaviors that he's displaying. He's a well-trained dog. He sits, stays, goes down on command, and comes and loves to chase the ball, which he finds. If you have any thoughts, I'd appreciate
it. Oh, before you hang up, what kind of dog is it?
Sure.
What kind of dog is it?
I'd say probably maybe Malinois and German Shepherd. He's about that size of a dog, basically a German Shepherd with a soft, woolly coat.
I'm curious about the ground-down teeth. Could be a natural thing. How old is
Sorry?
He, do you think? How old is he?
Well, I can't really tell you. I would say that he's probably maybe 5 or 6 years okay. old, maybe a little older than that.
Does it look like he's been in a lot of fights?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, not at all.
See, it's odd about the teeth, and I'm thinking if it's only those, only the canines are ground down. Like dogs that chew on rocks, you'll see their teeth are ground down, but it'd be more uniform, wouldn't it?
Well, I originally thought he might have broken them off.
That could be too.
Grabbing a frisbee, but I've subsequently suspected that probably somebody ground him down so that if he did bite down, which he's done with my wife on a couple of occasions, he quit and didn't break the skin.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
Well, in terms of commands, when you train a dog, as we were talking about earlier, the commands really don't matter.
Okay.
You can say anything you want. It's the training that's the issue. And you have a dog. I just don't like the Eskimos up near Thule in Greenland. When the dog is old enough, they break off their canines
mm-hmm.
because they fight so much.
Yeah.
And they don't want each other to get hurt. My first thought was, well, you know, this might have been a target dog for a fighting ring. So that's why I asked if he was all chewed up.
No, not at all.
No, because I wouldn't think they'd grind him down because of biting people.
I haven't heard. Malinois, of course, are used by police, border patrol people, narcotics police. But I haven't heard that they, or I haven't, no information that they either break off or grind down the canines. But that's when you're have that kind of dog that seems to be well trained. My first thought is, you know, he's eloped from some police station.
Well, my daughter made a really diligent effort to locate the owner. Went through all the vets she could locate in Toronto and so on. I suspected, based on his behavior, that, you know, he's a difficult dog because he barks and growls when somebody leaves the house, and he's very protective about me and was very protective about her. And I suspected that maybe the people who originally had him died or couldn't keep him anymore, transferred him to somebody else, and they thought if they neutered him that he'd stop being barking and growling and so on. He's not an aggressive dog. That's, you know, I've kept dogs for years and years, and he's not an aggressive dog.
Well, he's bit your wife a couple times.
Well, he snapped at her twice, but in both instances, we were having an altercation. Right? You know, voices were raised, and there was a lot of gesticulating. So I think if he was trained to be protective under the circumstances, he was responding as he was trained. That doesn't mean my wife beats me or anything like that. But, you know,
I think that's instinctive nature of the Malinois. The Malinois, to me, is like the refined, take a German Shepherd and refine that ability to defend and protect. That's just my impression. The neutering late, you've read about this, haven't you, Jim? There's, and maybe this theory is too new, but there's theory now to neuter later to keep the, so you don't have this growth plate, growth of the, what am I trying to say?
I have no idea.
Okay, never mind. Let him grow to about 18 months and then neuter them.
He was already an adult dog when he was neutered.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a matter of stopping.
In terms of training, I think what you can do is this. Since he's already trained in some basic obedience, touching means a great deal to a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So put him on a sit stay or a down stay and then go over and shake hands with your wife or hug her or something like that and then correct him if he breaks the sit or stay or anything like that, or if he growls, you know, tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
If he breaks the sit-stay or down-stay, put him back in it. But, you know, do this right in front of him so he gets the idea that it's okay for her. Well, he may never get the idea that it's okay for her to touch you, but he'll get the idea that it's not okay for him to complain about it.
Right, okay.
And that's kind of an exercise you should do several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And once that seems to be working, and it's going to take a while, all right? Mm-hmm. A couple weeks anyway. Then start a little more agitation. Nothing mean or, you know, or screaming mm-hmm. or anything, but just start moving around a lot and touching each other and maybe talking loud with him again on the sitz day and, again, correcting him with just sonic corrections. Don't hit him with a baseball bat or anything. Sonic corrections, say, no.
Audible. You
know, audible, right. And just what we're trying to do is desensitize him to interactions between you and your wife in a controlled situation.
I've been trying to do that for 3 years.
You know, and then I was thinking. You've
been putting him on a sit stay and shaking hands with your. No.
I've been trying to dissuade him from growling at my wife for 3 years.
Well, exactly. But the point is, happens is something happens, he growls, and you say no. All right. So what you're trying to do is set up the situation. You're trying to create it so that you're ready to correct him even before he does it. And, of course, this is not all negative. If he does well, then you reward him and praise him. All right. And in this case, doing well means doing nothing at all.
Right.
So if he does nothing, here's a cookie.
Give your wife one while you're at it.
Exactly.
How about the herding behavior when people leave the house?
That's not hurting behavior. You know, that's really odd, I have to say.
It's not uncommon, though. It's not rare.
Well, you people with these sporting dogs, I don't know.
No, it's not a rare thing. It's like they turn their back and they leave, and then you see a different response from the dog. It's not necessarily an attempt to keep them to stay. It's just, yes, I agree, it's odd, but it is not rare.
You can try this.
I thought he'd probably been trained. You know, somebody has Alzheimer's, and you don't want them wandering off. Dog's a good watchman for something like that.
Yeah, I doubt if this dog was trained to help handicapped people, and not if they ground down his teeth and he's biting. That's probably
no. He's not. You know, that's an exaggeration. He's not an aggressive dog.
He snapped, though. That's all right.
Hey,
he snapped. At your wife.
He snapped at my wife twice when she comes around me often. He will growl, but that's as far as it goes.
You know,
once again, if he growls, put him in the sit stay and go through the exercise.
The growling would worry me more than the snapping.
With people leaving, if he is trying to alert you, and that's probable, I think, alert you of people leaving. I don't know what you've been doing, but what you can try is putting him in a sit stay and thanking him. In other words, if he's barking because people are leaving, if he's been trained or if that's just part of his personality, he's probably trying to alert you to something. And if you ignore him or yell at him, he's going to think you're an idiot for missing out on this signal. So what you do is say, look, I recognize that you're giving me this warning. Good dog, here's a cookie, here's your toy. Now be quiet. Mm-hmm. Okay, the danger's gone, the danger's over. And again, don't wait for the dog to initiate this behavior. Get somebody to come to your house and leave so that you're ready to do all this. You know, in other words, set up the situation.
Sure.
You know, grinding the teeth down, they can still bite.
Yeah, oh, sure, they can bite, but they don't do so much
damage.
They
can't rip. You know, if I hadn't had that lemon bar when I got here, I think my brain would be functioning more smoothly because I know that there is a reason for dogs preventing people from leaving, where you'll see some aggressive behavior occur when the people leave, and they're perfectly fine while they're there.
He's preventing. It's after they leave, right?
It's while they're leaving, I thought.
Is it while they're leaving or after they leave?
Oh, yes. When they go to the door, you know, say somebody says goodbye, he immediately becomes agitated, and he'll run to the door and get between them and the door and circle around them and growl or bark.
In that case,
but he wags his tail while he's doing it.
In addition to what I said before, have a mat or what. Train him to go to another room when people start to leave,
mm-hmm.
all right? In other words, have his food, dinner or something. Have somebody come over and set this up. Have them go to leave. Have him on a lead. He's going to try to prevent them or do whatever he does. You lead him into the kitchen and give him his food.
Mm-hmm.
And do that several times until he gets the idea that if somebody's leaving, there's some food in the kitchen for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So again, that'll take a while and several training sessions, but I think it'd be worth the time because then when people go to leave, he's going to run to the kitchen.
And they'll be so relieved after all these years coming to visit.
Yeah, but that's just a training thing. In other words, it's not a command you give him. And then he, because he understands English, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to train him to do this and use whatever command you want, like kitchen or go away or whatever you want to use.
All right. I appreciate your thoughts, and I'll give it a try and see what I can do.
Okay.
Are you from Canada as well?
I was originally from Canada.
Yeah, okay. I can still hear a little bit.
30-odd years, so some things stick.
Okay.
Dog behavior.
Thanks for the call.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Georgetown, line 4. Hi.
Hi. We're enjoying your program very much. We have a year-and-a-half-old male Australian Shepherd, and we have two little kitties, and our dog gets a hold of one and drags it around. What can I do? I mean, he does this either out in the yard or in the garage, not when I'm around.
How old are the kitties?
These are cats, right?
Yes, we have a mama cat with two kitties. Oh, maybe, I don't know if they're two months, or they're big enough to fight back, but one doesn't. One does and one doesn't.
Well, if they're only 2 months old.
That's only 8 weeks. It's a little kitty.
Yeah. Mom grabs them by the back of the neck and moves them to a different nest. And mother dogs do that too. If you want to calm a puppy down or something, you just grab them by the back of the neck. And, don't squeeze them or anything, but it's a technique that mom uses. And your border collie, perhaps, by grabbing the kitten goes limp because that's what they do when they're picked up by the back of the neck. So it's not that it's not fighting. I don't know how to train your dog out of this. Obviously, he wasn't trained into it, or for whatever reason he's doing it, it wasn't because you trained it. My guess is that the cats, as they get older, and I don't know that much about cats, it's going to occur to them they'll be big enough to get away from him, and the problem will just solve itself.
It could be a nurturing thing on the part of the dog.
Yeah, dog's not hurting it, obviously.
He did this last winter to some other kittens that we had, and it was when we had snow on the ground, and this dog drug the kitty around. It was awful. The kitty wouldn't fight back.
Well, they're too little. They're babies.
Yeah.
They're only 8 weeks old. They're defenseless, basically.
Well, maybe they're a little bit older than that, but they're sure not as big as their mother. But, you know, he started to do this now on this litter of kittens.
Well, does he kill them or injure them or what?
No. Just plays with them and gets them all wet. It's a toy.
Well, yeah, I don't know what to say. I think that as long as he hasn't hurt the cats, I'd say that's a good thing.
This is a story and not a training technique. So get the kids out of the room. But years ago, we got a kitten, and we had Brett, who was a fairly big Malamute. He brought this little kitten home, put it on the couch. Brett looked at it, and he tried to eat it, and it fit in his mouth. And the only thing that prevented the kitten from being killed was Brett had taken such a big bite that he got the cushion instead. And I was in a panic, and I screamed, no, and I hit Brett on the head, just involuntarily. That's why I say it's not a training technique. I went, no, bam. And after that, Brett would not look at that kitten. If the kitten came by, he turned his head. He wasn't going to have anything to do with the kitten.
I think this dog likes to play with the kittens.
Likes to play with them.
Good thing they haven't been killed. And there's no blood. They're just wet, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I think did the other kittens outgrow it?
Well,
I mean, did they get?
Go ahead. We finally took them to the animal shelter because he was just mauling one around, so it, like I said, he just likes to play, but the kitten wouldn't try and get away from him, so we took the other two to the animal shelter. Well, Mama had more kitties.
There's a cure for that, here's the only thing I can think of. Get a stuffed toy and put it with the kittens and leave it there for a couple days. Then the next time you see your dog with it cat, just go up to him, offer him a cookie, and then offer him the toy that we hope now smells like the cat's, and see if that works. See if that works. Considering that they go limp and all that, it may be a good substitute. I wouldn't just give him a toy, or you could try that, but you know the toy smells like plastic to the dog. But if it has some of the cat odor on it, that might be good.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, thank you for your help. Enjoy the program. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to answer your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. Questions are invited, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Any events coming up with the dog
Sunday
training club?
Sunday afternoon at the women's basketball game, and I believe the women are playing Indiana at 2 o'clock, the flyball dogs will be the halftime entertainment.
Okay.
So that's, come out and support our women's sports because that's certainly very worthy of our time, but also we will be there. It'll be our debut of the season. We have new dogs playing, old dogs playing. So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
2 o'clock on Sunday.
Now, and you get to see a basketball game too.
And that's right. A good one.
All for the same low price.
And are you manning a concession stand like you did during the football season?
No, we didn't do the basketball. Okay. We did football, but but no, but we'll be there.
And for folks who've never seen a flyball game or a competition, it's not a competition, it's a demonstration.
Well, it's like a relay race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The dogs take it seriously. They don't know that we're entertaining people. They're out there to win. But it's a series of jumps, four jumps, and a box. When they hit the box, a tennis ball pops out, and they run back over the jumps, and then another dog's released. So there's four dogs on each team.
What I like about it is they use a light system to start the
We
thing.
Won't be doing that.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's like NASCAR.
It's like drag racing.
That's for this
a little red ragged.
But it's pretty much fun. So that, and we will be offering flyball classes at the Dog Training Club starting this month. I'm signed up for one, but I don't know when it starts, so I'm a lot of help there.
Yeah, you'll have trouble going to it if you
I got to figure that out.
Well, we got a couple of listeners.
Sure.
Lined up, ready to talk. Line one, Champaign, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, how do I teach my dog to growl at my wife? No, I'm joking.
Bad man.
Email me privately.
What I have is a dog that recognizes animals on TV, and it would recognize a shape or a silhouette of an animal, and it always runs to the TV and barks and barks and barks and barks. I was wondering what you might suggest to prevent her from barking.
I saw that on The Dog Whisperer.
Oh, what did he do?
Well,
Whisper to the dog?
What he did was and it was a little terrier who would go berserk, and they couldn't watch the dog whisper because the dog interrupted their enjoyment of the show. So what he did.
I can't watch the Animal Planet whatsoever.
Yeah, what kind of dog do you have?
It's a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh. What he did, and it's basically the same theme underlying a lot of our advice, is to get control of the dog, and they would have, the dog could, first we wouldn't let it into the room. He had to go to a space right out, like the threshold of the room, and stay there for a bit. But that behavior was reinforced positively. And then as time went on, the dog could come closer and closer and still exhibit the same calm behavior. And eventually the behavior was extinguished.
Does he already know sit and stay and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. That's no problem there.
Yeah. Or, have him sit on the couch with you or something while you watch TV and just say, it's on TV. It's not real. But, it's like.
And the dog will understand perfectly.
But it's those commercials with the doorbell. I cringe when those come on because the dogs hear the doorbell and then you've got bedlam and chaos for a few seconds. And when they run them back to back, I really want to scream. But it's the same kind of situation.
So keep her off in the other room for a while.
I wouldn't make her go to another room. Still be visible.
If she starts to bark, take her to some place. Make her sit and stay facing away from the television for...
What, put her in a corner?
Time out. It's essentially a timeout.
Yeah.
Tell her to, and then invite her back in. What I and just keep doing that. The other thing you can do is if she's barking, again, praise her instead of, you're probably trying to get her to be quiet. Start praising her. Give her a cookie. It serves to distract her. And also, if she's barking as a warning that there's a dog in the house, you know, or another animal.
Well, she probably hates Meerkat Manor. That's probably the real problem. Because I can't stand
Meerkat Manor. Then you're acknowledging that you understand the problem will help to calm her down. The thing that first occurred, we have, you know, our dogs will watch other dogs on TV, especially if they're barking.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine will alert to it. They don't bark.
Yeah, they don't bark back.
How old is she?
She's 7.
Oh, well, forget that idea.
Ooh. But the other thing that I would do, is this. If the dog started barking at a dog on TV, I'd start barking at the dog on TV. And I'd try to be even more obnoxious than the dog. And then the dog would go, "What's your problem?" You know, I'd become frightened and go, "I'm not going to hang around this crazy guy."
That's a thought.
Give that a try, too.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's a good dog training technique, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah. Well, you kind of bond with the dog.
Sure.
Well, very good. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks.
So that's called recreational barking, right?
Now there's recreational howling.
I howl with the dogs.
Let's take another call. We've got to wrap up here pretty quickly, though. Line 2, Danville. Hi.
Hi. I have a Portuguese water dog, 2 years old, and we're going to be sailing off the coast of Washington State. We live here in Danville. And I'd like to get some advice about airshipping the dog.
Oh, Jim can answer all those. Yeah.
What do you want to know?
You know, if we leave from Indianapolis, we're going to be, you know, it's going to be a two-stop flight, and we're concerned about that. And also, we may have to ship him when we won't be with him. So, just like
where would you be shipping him?
To Seattle.
To friends in Seattle, or
yeah, there's no nonstop from Indy to Seattle.
No,
really.
Well, there'd always be somebody. We may have to go to Chicago to do it nonstop, but there'd always be somebody putting him on the plane and getting him off and meeting him there. That wouldn't be the problem. The issue is really whether we should even consider putting him on a situation where we put him on a plane where he would be transferred.
I would, you know, I would drive to Chicago.
When are you going?
This is going to happen 2 or 3 times. We're going to be out there several times for a month or more this year.
Well, a couple of things that most people don't know, don't allow shipping. One, it's hard to do in the winter because if it's below a certain temperature, the airlines won't ship it. And in the summer, if it's above a certain temperature, the airlines won't ship.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of that. Now, we get a little exception for Malamutes in the cold weather because – they're cold weather dogs, but in the summer, obviously
nobody makes exceptions.
Nobody gets exceptions, so you have to be aware of that. I'm with Carol, and we've done this. I don't fly any,
but he flies his dogs.
Any vehicle that's likely to leave the ground is one I'm not on.
Smart man.
But we ship quite a few dogs, and we go out of our way. We'll drive to O'Hare if it means it's a one-stop flight. And we've shipped dogs out of Indianapolis, but it's to places where there's only, you know, they go directly. So I think that's very important.
And the right size kennel is a big issue.
You have to have the right size kennel. The dog has, Portuguese would get a 500 crate.
Probably a 500.
Maybe a 700.
No, 500.
500. It has to be big enough.
They have to stand up, lie down, and turn around.
Well, you confirm my concerns, and thank you. I have one other interesting thing with Max. He, Portuguese water dogs and their history and where they came from. Max is not particularly enthused about swimming. He doesn't mind being around water and being walking in it, but swimming he just doesn't like particularly. The other thing is that when we're sailing, the weather gets a little rough. He really does some comical things. First, he comes and looks me in the eye and barks at me like it's my fault.
It is your fault. You're out there sailing.
You put him on the boat.
Yeah, and then he really gets nervous, and he really never becomes comfortable about it. The less the less we try to console him, the better he is. You know,
oh, that's very true, yeah.
Yeah, but do you have any thoughts on
I think the hard thing for you and it must be carrying the Portuguese water around with you all the time.
Right, yeah, it's difficult to get. That's right.
That was pretty good. I've got
Thanks,
one in
yeah,
class.
Well, I've just made that up. I don't. Yeah.
No kidding.
Malamutes do not swim. All right, we've had hundreds of Malamutes. I think we've had two that would swim. They'll wade. But they ain't going to swim.
No.
So the water dogs.
And I'm not crazy about sailing, so.
Well, you know, he's got webbed feet, and he's supposed to be renowned for pulling in fishnets and saving sailors.
He doesn't know that. He hasn't read that part.
As we're talking about with the herding dogs, you really have to start a little bit early. You can't just wait until. How old is he? Two?
Two, and he was sailing when he was 8 months. We got him when he was 8 months.
Yeah, sailing is not the same as swimming.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're doing it right.
Yeah. That's true. All right, well, thank you.
I would never leave a dog alone at an airport.
Okay, there we go. We're out of time. Thanks so much. We'll see you in February ahead of Valentine's Day. And don't forget the fly ball at...
Sunday at 2 o'clock,
a women's basketball game,
and then we're doing men's February 3rd, I think, a Saturday night game.
Okay, very good.
I'm doing my Christmas shopping early this year. My resolution, so I'm starting tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll let you go then. Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month.